Turn your Bibles to John chapter 14, if you would. John chapter 14. Page 875 in your red pew Bibles. We're in the third Sunday of this season of Lent. Continue to work our way through the book of John. And we are in the part of John where it's the last night of Jesus' life. He just had a meal with his disciples, and then he launches into what scholars call the farewell discourse. It's kind of the final instructions for the disciples, last a couple chapters long. Jesus had began by washing the disciples' feet. 2 weeks ago we looked at, after he washed their feet, and then he said, okay, did you learn that lesson? I want you to serve one another. Last week he gave them a new command. And he said, I want you to love one another like I have loved you. And we got some further instructions this week as we keep going. You know, a few years ago, my neighbor had built his own house, which is just, to me, that somebody does that, it's just amazing. That's an incredible task to me, incredibly complicated and daunting. I think it would take a long time, and it did, to build your own house like that. And in fact, I know there's probably some people in here that could do that. And maybe you already did do that. You build your own house, which just impresses me. I admire people like that who are just awesome handymen or handy women. I don't want to leave anybody out. But you know that you can lay brick or block and do construction and wiring and plumbing and finishing and painting. That's one thing I can do. I can paint, okay? And then sometimes you have those people that can do all that, and then they work on cars too. They know how to fix cars. And then they're computer savvy as well. And so it's just like that, you know, I kind of go with those people. I just go, wow, you're a jack of all trades. You know, you could just do everything like that. And you know, some women can do some things like that in another area, different areas as well. And people like that I admire. I admire my wife because I see her as being someone who's multi-talented as well in different areas. She cooks and bakes really well. She's a really good cook. She's an entertainer. She has the gift of hospitality. She can sew. She makes quilts. She is an artist. She paints. She's a crafter. Not only that, on top of all that, she has been a really, really good mom. And there's one story I really like to point out to what my wife, how good of a mom she was. She was responsible for getting three children ready for church every Sunday by herself, okay? Because I left early, and she did that for years and years, until about 3 years ago. No, I'm just kidding. And now I'm watching her do it with our granddaughter and teaching her baking, and it's really, really cool. I don't know about you, but I admire people like that. You know, people who just are jack of all trades, and they're good to go to whenever we need some guidance on how to do something or something needs fixed. Hey, how do you go about doing this? And those people are valuable in our lives. They're just good to know. They make our life better and easier, and they teach us things if we're smart enough to learn along the way. Well, our story today, Jesus is about to introduce the disciples to somebody just like that. Remember, our disciples are at a low point in their life, okay? They've just got, Jesus has been getting dark on them, talking about them, I'm going away, you can't come with me. He just washed the disciples' feet, which is kind of weird. You know, why is he washing our feet? He said, one of you is going to betray me. What? Okay, and so they are confused, they have questions, and they're beginning to get scared here. But Jesus doesn't seem scared at all, okay, and because he is ready to put them in touch with somebody who's going to guide them through all of that. So let's turn to John 14, and we're going to begin in verse 15, and we'll see what Jesus is talking about here. Let's pray before we begin, all right? Father, we just spent some time praising you and lifting you up. And now, God, you kind of want to turn the tables a little bit. You want to build us up. You want to encourage us. And so, Lord, I pray that as we go through your word here, that preconceived notions that we have will kind of go out the window. And that we would just settle in and open up our hearts and open up our minds and let your spirit teach us about you, about how to get along in this world, and about how to be more like Jesus. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Starting in verse 15, John chapter 14, Jesus says this, "If you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth." Now, Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit there. And he calls him another advocate. That is his word for the Holy Spirit. It's a Greek word which is called paraclete. That is the word in Greek. It's actually a law term, meaning someone who comes alongside you in a court of law to kind of be your helper and counselor in a court of law. Think about a parallel, okay? This is para, someone who comes alongside as a helper. But it's not just limited to the law. In this case, it's not just limited to law. It can also, in fact, your Bible might have advocate. It might have counselor. I'm going to send you another helper. I'm going to send you a comforter. It could be any of those. In fact, I read one scholar this week that said, hey, let's just call it paraclete and know that all those things are covered there. It's not just one, it's all of them, okay? And notice Jesus said, I'm going to send you another advocate. And so Jesus saying, hey, I'm going away, but God's going to send my replacement, someone who is just like me. And so that's the first thing we can say. I'm so excited. My words are getting ahead of me. The Holy Spirit is just like Jesus. The Holy Spirit is just like Jesus. Whatever we see Jesus doing in the scriptures, that's what the Holy Spirit will do for us. Now, unlike Jesus, the Holy Spirit isn't confined to flesh and blood and being in one place at one time. Not having a physical body, the Spirit, of course, is spiritual, and so he can move around, right? So, Jesus continues on to describe the Spirit. Verse 17, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you, or he is in you. That could be translated either way. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. And because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, you are in me, and I am in you. Now skip down to verse 25. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. Well, we learned this week in the sports world that Tom Brady unretired. He's going to be back. And Kevin is super happy about that. Likes Tom Brady. Tom Brady, if you don't know, Tom Brady is often called the GOAT. In the NFL, as far as quarterbacks are concerned. GOAT means G-O-A-T, greatest of all time. And he's just outstanding quarterback. Think about Simone Biles. She's called the GOAT in the gymnastics world, the greatest of all time. These are the most accomplished athletes in their field, hands down. I mean, they can just, it's like they can do it all. They've accomplished all. And I think Jesus is saying the same thing about the Holy Spirit here, as we're going to see. Holy Spirit is not the GOAT, but I would say the Holy Spirit is the JOAT, okay? J-O-A-T, jack of all trades, okay? The Holy Spirit can do it all here, and Jesus is telling them, hey, this is what the Spirit is going to do for you. So how do we benefit from the Holy Spirit? That the Spirit is kind of like the handyman or the handy woman for us as we live. How does he benefit us? First of all, he says that the Spirit abides in us. Verse 17, he says, you know him, for he lives with you and will be or is in you. In our case, he is in you. A couple years ago, Diana had put this wreath up on our front door. It was a real pretty wreath, and it was made up of like grapevines, you know, ripped together, and it had some flowers on it, put it on the front door. One time, I went out the front door, and it was like, this little bird flew off. It was a wren. A wren had taken up residence in the wreath right on our front door for a while, until eventually he couldn't handle opening the door so much, right? But he took up residence in that wreath. And that is what the Holy Spirit does with us. He's taken up residence in our lives. We are more than flesh and blood, folks. We also have a spirit to us. And when you commit to following Jesus, God sends his spirit to take up residence inside of us. So we have this close relationship with God. God's Spirit then is very, very near to us. So near that the Apostle Paul described it like this. I think this is pretty cool when you stop and think about it. In Romans chapter 8, Paul said this: the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Think about that. Paul's just saying, man, that God's Spirit is our advocate, is our helper, knows us intimately well, that when we can't even, we get to the point, we can't even pray. Paul's like, don't worry about it. Your spirit connects with God's Spirit and everything's cool. Because we've had situations like that. He just knows us so well. And then in verse 26, he says, the Spirit will teach you all things. So he teaches us. He teaches us the things of God. Anything you learn about God or the things of God, about his world, about how the world is messed up and that we're messed up and sinful, you learn about God's love, you learn about salvation, you learn how to grow in your faith. Anything that you learn, all those things you learn from the Holy Spirit. Now, catch this as well. Anything that you learn that is true, you learn from the Holy Spirit. When you learn that 2 plus 2 equals 4, guess who taught you that? The Holy Spirit. Oh, no, that was Mrs. Johnson in my second grade class. Well, the Holy Spirit used Mrs. Johnson to teach you 2 plus 2 is 4. That's the truth. You learn about gravity, right? You know, something falls to the ground, boom. Oh, you learn that's gravity. Guess who did? The Holy Spirit teaches you that. Because this is why. All truth is God's truth. All truth is God's truth. And so when we have the Spirit inside of us, it's like having an inside tutor teaching us about the truth of God's world. That comes from the Holy Spirit. And then he says in verse 26, the Holy Spirit will remind you of everything I have said to you. He reminds us of God's promises and God's truths. During those times of trial and testing, the Holy Spirit helps us to recall the promises of Scripture. Many of you can give testimony, and I've heard some of you say, you know, I was just having a real rough day, and I didn't know how to do that or whatever was going on. But then that Bible verse come to mind. And I thought about, you know, Philippians 2, whatever. And I just remember that. And it so spoke to me at that time. And, you know, who brought that to your mind? That's the Holy Spirit reminding you of scriptures that are at that time, or a song that you sing, or a point in a sermon, which I probably doesn't happen that often, but I'm going to mention it here anyhow. Or maybe it's something that you read for your quiet time that morning, later on in the afternoon. It's like, man, that was perfect. The Holy Spirit reminds us and helps us to persevere in whatever we're doing. Now, move on over to chapter, turn the page, go to chapter 16, because I said this is a long speech that Jesus is making here. Chapter 16, verse 12, he says this: I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said, the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. couple weeks ago, I was out hiking in Shenandoah National Park, and I discovered something new that has just been way, way cool and makes what I do a lot more fun in the woods in Shenandoah National Park. Normally, when I go hiking, I have this app on my phone. It's kind of a trail app with GPS in it. Kind of tells me my location, right where I am. I can't ever get lost. Don't worry about that unless my phone goes dead. But that kind of shows me where my location. But I've discovered a new thing. I found maps from 1930s that I can actually overlay onto my phone, that I can look where I am in regards to a 1930 map. Now, this is a big deal. Why do you want a 1930 map? Because what I like to do when I go to Shenandoah National Park, I like to look at the old stuff. I like to go to old homesteads and things like that. Well, a lot of times they're not on the main trail. But when you have an old map, it'll tell you where an old road went. Or it'll tell you with a little dot that says, that kind of just says, you know what, this was a house right at this point. And so sometimes now those are located way back in the woods. And with I have this map with my GPS, that can guide me to that old homestead way back in the woods somewhere. And I just see, you know, some old, and some of you have seen my pictures, old foundations, an old chimney, an old cemetery. And this just makes it way cool. I like looking at stuff like that. It just guides me to that homestead, right? In the same way, Jesus is saying the Holy Spirit is going to guide you to the truth. Now think about that in our world. Think about how much crazy falsehoods are out there, okay? The lies that the world and society is throwing us that we can easily get sucked up into, right? When we have, or the lies that our own body tells us. We kind of pursue things, our own desires, and that, that's good, you know, oh, that's a good way to go. And then we get in a little deep and it's like, grass isn't greener. Oh, maybe I shouldn't have done that. Well, we just follow, you know, but if we allow the Holy Spirit who's inside of us to guide us, Jesus said, it'll guide us to the truth. So we don't have to be fooled. We don't have to guess or wonder or hope that this is the right decision or I'm going in the right path. He guides us to the truth. What an awesome benefit from the Holy Spirit. And finally, verse 14, he says the Holy Spirit will glorify Jesus. He's going to testify about Jesus. In other words, whatever and wherever the Holy Spirit directs us is always going to align with the character of Jesus. That's very, very important. That wherever the Holy Spirit leads us, it's always going to align with the character of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is never going to tell you something that goes against the character of Jesus. Because sometimes we can start, you know, start saying, oh, well, God told me to do this. God told me to do that. It's like, is that within the character of Jesus? All right? What Jesus is about, the Spirit is about. So you think about all these benefits here. How cool it is to have the Spirit that's a jack of all trades. All these benefits. That's going to be with us wherever we go. God has given us everything that we need for navigating in this world. We have this advocate, comforter, helper, counselor with us 24/7. That's awesome. That's awesome. Just stop and think about it. Maybe just say, praise God, thank you for just not leaving us to wander around in this earth by ourselves. When we lived back in Indiana one time, Diana got a phone call from a neighbor. And he just said, I want to tell you that your daughter and another neighborhood girl were just making fun of my daughter, kind of berating her a little bit. Our daughter Blair was like 10, 11 years old. This family, the gentleman who called, was an African-American family. And we were devastated. You know, we didn't raise her like this. You know, where did she get this? Where's this coming from? How could this wonderful little child that we had, which we all had, but my kid won the kindness award in her grade. Where's this coming from? It just grieved us. You know, you hear something like that, and it's just like, it just grieves us. You ever have your child do something that just grieved you? Now, I'm not talking about kids do something that make us mad all the time, but I'm talking about where you just go, where your heart hurts because of what they've done. I need to tell you the rest of the story too, is that later on, our daughter became best friends. They were best friends with this girl. But at the time, our hearts, we just grieved at what we had heard. You know, Scripture tells us that the Holy Spirit is our advocate and helper and comforter and counselor. But when we ignore this advice from the Holy Spirit, whenever we choose to rebel and go in a different path, and we're going to go a different way, we're going to do our own things, Scripture says that we grieve the Holy Spirit. Like, we're God's children, and the Holy Spirit, God's not mad at us. He grieves. He grieves. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul's given instructions to the Christians there in the city of Ephesus. And he tells them, live like Jesus. He's given them examples for Christian living. Live like Jesus. Don't live like people who don't know God. You're a new creation in Jesus. So tell the truth. Don't lie. Don't steal. Don't get angry and lose control. And then he says this in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. He says, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid. And so here's how you don't grieve, he says. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. So just like when our children do stupid stuff and they make bad choices, it grieves us. When we do things, stupid things, when we say stupid things to people, when we make bad choices, that grieves the Holy Spirit. And Paul goes on to list them, and pretty much what he's saying there, whenever we sin, we grieve the Holy Spirit. But then Paul tells us how we can avoid this, how we avoid grieving the Spirit. And in verse 32, he says this, be kind and compassionate to one another. Forgive each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. How do we avoid grieving the Spirit? He tells us right there. Follow God's example, walk in the way of love. We act like Jesus, and we love other people. That's how we avoid grieving the Holy Spirit. We act like Jesus, and we love other people. When we do that, the Spirit thrives in us. When the Spirit thrives in us, we have access to all those benefits of the Holy Spirit that can help us through difficult times, and then we can navigate through life okay. A couple weeks ago, I was at the house. We had one of those pre-spring days, when it was like up in the 70s and a storm was coming in and it was blowing like crazy outside. You may remember about 2 weeks ago, and it was windy and warm. And on days like that, I like to open the windows of my house to let the wind blow in and get out the winter crud. Anybody else like that, right? And so we had that going on. And I'll tell you what, I went downstairs to let the dog out and I opened the door. And all of a sudden, the wind took another path. And I was standing there in the doorway, and it was like, I mean, it was coming from behind me. And it was awesome. You know, I made a new path for the wind. And I was just standing there, because it was warm, doors open, and I'm just like, you know. And it was like, whoa, this is awesome. And then it kind of occurred to me that when we act like Jesus, and when we love other people, it's like opening doors that allows the Holy Spirit to flow in our lives. Amen. To enjoy all the benefits and blessings that God wants to give us. And so my question for you is this. Are there doors in your life that are currently closed or shut that is preventing the flow of the Holy Spirit in your life? Are there any negative attitudes that keep reoccurring? Are there any bad habits that keep popping up that are hard to deal with? Are there any previous hurts that you had in your life that keep you from experiencing the fullness of the Holy Spirit flowing through you? I'm going to just ask you to bow your head, and just in this time of silence, maybe we're just going to ask God to bring to mind something that you need. Maybe you need to confess or to repent. God's bringing it to mind. Or maybe it's something from your past that is just, you can't shake it. And you keep trying, and maybe this is the thing, you're not able to conquer it on your own. Maybe this is where you turn it over to God. Maybe it's you go to talk to somebody else about it. Could be counseling or therapy or just sharing with another Christian friend. Maybe you have a bad attitude towards someone that you're just bitter. Just bitter. Father God, we thank you for your Holy Spirit, who is the jack of all trades in the spirit world. He's our advocate, our counselor, our comforter, our helper. But Lord, as we read in the scriptures, sometimes we can close doors that quench the Spirit or that grieve the Spirit and prevents him from flowing through our lives. Lord, may this be the day. May this be the day that we take steps and allow you to open that door of a free-flowing spirit once again. Lord, show us all this week. Even we're going to give you permission to bug us all this week about the changes that we need to make in our life to open up those doors again. Lord, we just want to get honest with you. And you don't condemn us. You love us. That's why you grieve. You love us and you want to bless us. May we realize that. And Father, we just thank you. Gosh, we thank you for giving us your Spirit on this earth so that we are never alone and we're never without guidance. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.